is two questions. Where are you going and who are you taking with you?
Amen.
They're important questions that we need answers to. And so we're going to look in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. Solomon says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word, and I pray that you would please help me tonight to deliver your message accurately to your people. This is important. I don't know the needs of your people. I don't even know what my own needs are, but you do. And I pray that you would meet our needs tonight through your word.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to receive it. Lord, help us to heed your word and to do what you want us to do. Lord, I pray that you would bless your word as we read it and as we go over it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The first question is, where are you going? I don't know if you have, I'm sure everybody in here that drives has probably used your GPS on your phone,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And we do that because we don't want to lose direction. We want the shortest route. We don't want to get lost. Sometimes I use the GPS when I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
I know how to get there, but there could be wrecks along the way and, you know, a major traffic issue that I could avoid if I just depended on that GPS. And the reason is because I want to get where I'm going. I have a destination, and I have many times a time frame of when I need to get there,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Solomon says, "To ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." The word ponder means to carefully and diligently consider. The question is, where are you going? And that doesn't necessarily mean tonight. You're probably going home tonight. Okay, that's easy, that's simple. You know how to get there, you've done it 1,000 times. That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the path of our feet. When Solomon says that, he's not talking about the trail to your house.
Right.
He's talking about the direction of your life.
Amen.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
When he says, "Let all thy ways be established," the word "established" means to found, institute, build, or bring into being on a firm foundation or stable basis. Solomon is telling us to take time to examine or analyze the direction that we're headed.
Right.
We're all headed somewhere. Mm. Sometimes he even uses the analogy of a leaf in the wind or an arrow.
Right.
An arrow is pointed at a target. A leaf really has no direction. It goes wherever the wind tells it to go.
Mm.
And it'll be going this direction, and then it'll be going this direction, and then that direction, and there's no real plan there. The arrow, on the other hand, has some crosshairs, a target, a bullseye, something to aim at, right?
Right.
So we're all headed somewhere, and the problem is, some of us may know where that is, and then some of us may not, because we're that leaf in the wind. Could it be that you or I are headed in a direction that's not good? A direction that's not where God wants us to go? In Proverbs 12:15, the Bible says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes."
Right.
"But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." We've got to be deliberate in the direction of our life, or else we will not only be that leaf in the wind, but that wind will be Satan's direction.
Mm-hmm.
Satan has a plan to disrupt God's plan.
Right.
Satan has a plan to destroy you and I and everything that God wants for us to do. Okay? He doesn't hold up signs and says, "I'm Satan and I want you to follow me, head this direction." No, what he does is he does it very secretly and deceptively, so that you and I do not recognize that he's doing it.
Mm.
Remember the wind and the leaf.
Mm.
But when we're deliberate to ponder our path and establish it on a firm foundation, Jesus Christ, he is our firm foundation.
Amen.
His word is our firm foundation.
Yes.
And we establish the direction that we're headed on biblical principles, then will be the arrow pointed at the target. Will we miss the target? We may miss the actual crosshair, but we'll probably hit the target,
mm-hmm.
which is far better than the leaf in the wind just kind of drifting in whatever direction it's going to go.
Amen.
Proverbs 11:14. Look at that if you would. It's just a couple pages down. Once again, Solomon tells us that where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. He says also in 4:26, he's talking about thy ways, our direction. Our goals, possibly. The immediate desires that we want to achieve. Maybe even the long-term aspirations of life that we may have. Our direction. What are your goals for the future?
Mm.
It's important to have these goals. I heard a person say one time, if you have no goals, you're probably headed nowhere. What are your goals? Remember, we want to be an arrow and not the leaf. So what are your goals for this week? What are your goals for this month? Or maybe this year, by the end of the year? I don't know if you have made some commitment at the beginning of this year to accomplish or not. I know that a lot of times when we do in January, by February or March, we have forgotten what that was. Or just gave up on it.
Mm.
But it's important to have goals, because if we don't, once again, we're probably not going to reach that goal.
Amen.
We're probably not going to go anywhere. We're probably not going to accomplish anything for the cause of Christ. God convicted my heart to set a goal to share Jesus with at least two people per week. That doesn't sound like a lot, because you think, you come across five people a day, maybe 10. Some people a lot, some people not so many. But in a week's time, you would think that just about any one of us would come across at least two people that probably need to hear the gospel.
Mm.
But I can tell you that because of laziness and losing the perspective of that goal, there's been weeks that I've not done that. Just confessing to you. Were there people that were in my path that needed to hear the gospel? Yes. But because I didn't have my sights on the target, on that goal, on that commitment, I'd failed to keep it. Then there's been some weeks that I tried to run to catch up. And God blessed and gave me opportunity to do that.
Amen.
So far, I am on target to reach that goal. 2 people per week is 104 in a year. And that's quite a few people.
Yep.
Had I not had that goal, I'd probably not share Jesus with more than maybe a dozen people.
Yeah.
I may not reach the goal at the end of the year. I hope I do. I hope I exceed the goal. All I'm saying is when we have a target to aim at, there's a better chance that we're going to reach that goal or at least get close to it.
Amen.
Than if we had no goal at all. If we're going to have an impact for eternity's sake, I believe we have to have some type of commitments and goals to reach. Okay? Here's a big question. Are you headed in the direction that God has planned for you? And I know that can be difficult to answer right off the bat without much thought. But I think it's a question that you might need to jot down and work on answering for your benefit and for eternity's benefit. Because if we're not doing what God has put us here for, what are we doing? If we're not completing His purpose, whose purpose are we completing?
Right.
There's only 2 forms of power. Good and evil. Better said, God and Satan. God is either going to lead and give us direction and pull us in the direction He wants us to go, or Satan is. And you will serve God on purpose, or you will serve Satan on accident.
Right.
The leaf in the wind. If I asked you, what goals are you actively trying to accomplish right now in your life, how would you answer that? Yes, we have spiritual goals, like the one that I've mentioned already. But it's okay to have other goals.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I think everything, at some point or another, really has some spiritual benefit. Anything we do has some tie to what God has planned for us. God doesn't have a big plan for us to accomplish one day.
Amen.
God has a big plan for us to accomplish today.
Amen.
Tomorrow. Next week.
That's right.
All of it may be tied together, or it may be a series of different things. It's different with each person.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, they get, God puts them in a ministry and they are there for life. Other people are not. That's okay. Because God can do whatever He wants to do.
Amen.
The important thing is that you and I know what God wants for us and that we're headed in that direction.
Right.
In that, there must be goals. I heard a guy, or read a statement from a D.L. Moody. He said, "Our greatest fear ought not to be of failure, but succeeding at something that doesn't really matter."
That's good.
You can become extremely wealthy, and if that wasn't God's plan, it's pointless.
Yes, amen.
You can write 100 books, and if that wasn't God's plan, it was pointless. When you have an impact on a person, that will affect eternity.
Amen.
Solomon said in Proverbs 24, verse 27, he said, "Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house." What he was saying was, get things set up, get a plan, get your finances in order, then build your house. Don't start building your house until you have this plan. Jesus gave us a parable in the New Testament about the same idea. He said, who builds a house without counting the cost?
Right.
In other words, you got to sit down, get your pen and paper, do some research, get counsel, mm-hmm. wise counsel, create a plan. Mm. This plan will have a goal and it'll have a deadline. Deadline is not a bad word. For those of you that have been crunched for time to try to accomplish something in a deadline that someone else has set for you. The good thing is when we learn to set those deadlines ourselves. But they're very important. Because if we have no deadline, it's not likely we're going to work as hard to reach it. There's no deadline to reach. I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll get to it when I can. My brother-in-law, Asa, he lives under deadlines, right?
Sometimes.
We've got to get this done by this date. And I'm sure that he's probably looked at some of these deadlines and just shook his head and said, I don't see that happening. But then he got busy working on how to figure out what are we going to have to do to reach this deadline? What's the first step? What's the second step? If you have a goal, a deadline, to pass out a certain amount of tracts to a certain amount of people per day, per week, per month, per year, whatever, you've got to have a little bit of a plan. Mm-hmm. Number one, like Brother Lewis said, you got to find the tracts.
Yeah.
Then you have to put them in your pocket or on the dash of your vehicle. If you don't do that, you're probably not going to pass out any tracts. Now that's
right.
Step one.
Yeah.
Then you got to figure out, okay, now who am I going to give these to? I go over here to this store on this day. I go to this place on that day. I go to that store every day. I see that same person every day. I've never given them a tract before. They may be lost.
Mm.
We have to think about this. We have to come up with some type of a plan, right? If you've ever tried to save money without a plan, how did that work? It didn't. But those of you who have tried to save money with a plan, how did that work?
Mm-hmm.
Worked pretty good, didn't it? You may not have reached your goal, but you came a lot closer to it than you would have if you had no goal.
Right.
Right? So creating this plan, setting deadlines are important. Remember the two questions. Where are you going? And who are you taking with you? The second question, who are you taking with you? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul the Apostle was writing this letter to Timothy. And I recognize that Timothy was a young preacher. Paul was a seasoned preacher, giving Timothy some advice. But just because they were both preachers does not exclude us from that advice. This is important for us to recognize. Let's look at verse 2 of chapter 2, 2 Timothy. Paul said to Timothy, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also."
Amen.
What Paul was saying was, this don't need to die in your lap.
Amen.
What I've taught you is important. Mm. It's so important that it needs to go on until the end of time.
That's right.
And here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to teach you some things, and then I want you to go find somebody and teach it to them. But make sure that those people that you're teaching is going to teach that to somebody else. What's he talking about? He's talking about discipleship here.
Yes.
The same thing that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go into all the world and teach them everything that I've taught you. It's important that we're headed in the right direction. Brother Tommy mentioned this morning. It's hard to teach somebody or lead somebody in the right direction if you're not headed in the right direction yourself. Which is all the more reason why we should take this question, am I doing what God put me here for? And you find that answer. That will be your homework this week. Because if we're not headed in the right direction, it's not likely we're leading someone in the right direction.
Right.
No greater investment can you make than the investment that you make in people.
Amen.
They're eternal. You can invest money. You can invest a lot of money. And when you die, it'll be here. Not where you're going. I heard a young fellow one time, I think he was 16 years old. He had an opportunity to preach for his first time, and he preached in our church. And he made a statement that I'll never forget. He said, the only thing you can take to heaven are the people that you've won to Jesus. We work pretty hard to buy stuff and to save money, to earn money, sometimes even to earn a position.
Yeah.
We're not taking that to heaven. We won't have that position in heaven. We won't have that money. But we will have some people lined up behind us, possibly, that are only there because we took some time to share Jesus with them or hand them a track. Paul was easy to follow for Timothy because Paul had a purpose and he knew what that purpose was. And he was headed to accomplish that purpose. Remember what he said at the end of his life? I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Were there more people that needed to be saved? Sure there was. Were there more churches that needed to be started? Absolutely. And they were. Not by Paul. But he finished what God had for him. Jesus, in a sense, said the same thing. In particular, one day, he spent the whole day healing people. Gobs and gobs of people. The Bible says that the whole city came. And he healed lepers. He healed blind people. He healed sick people. He healed people that were lame. He cast devils out of people. Yes. Till late in the evening. The next day, the disciple says, Master, they're back. He said, let's go to the next town. They left him. Why? Because that's what God wanted him to do. It's important that we walk closely with the Lord and follow what the Holy Spirit is guiding us to do or not do. Because if we don't, where are we going? What are we doing? Are we accomplishing something that is worth anything? Paul was easy to follow because he was following God. By the way, this is only for the men here, for the husbands. It's a lot easier for your wife to follow you when you're following God. It's difficult for a wife to submit to her husband when he's not. That was not in my notes, but it was apparently needed. I say this because if you're not headed in the right direction, it's not likely you're leading someone in the right direction.
Amen.
Okay? What is your purpose? What are your goals? What are your deadlines? What does God want you to do? What does He want you to do tomorrow? There's more to going to work than earning a dollar.
Amen.
In fact, that's really on the lower end, on the level of importance of the reason why you go to work. That's really your second job.
No.
Your first job is to spread the gospel.
That's right.
To shine the light for Jesus. I think that some of the goals that we, again, it's okay to have goals that are financial, physical, whatever. Those are great. I think they're necessary. I believe that it's biblical for us to set goals to acquire better health or to save money. That's what Solomon teaches in Proverbs chapter 6. But do you have goals that involve an eternal purpose? I believe we all should. So I want to leave you with this question. What are you trying to accomplish right now, actively trying to accomplish right now in your life that will have a positive impact in your life and someone else's 10 years from now and in eternity? Don't let that question overwhelm you, because I know that it's difficult for some of us to plan in advance. I know it is for me sometimes. And to think that far down the road, it's like, ask me that then. Right?
Yeah.
Jeanette, she's an excellent planner. We were planning to have our family come and stay with us this week. They arrived yesterday. And she had the stuff on the counter 3 days ago on what she was going to cook today. Sometimes we'll go on vacation and she'll have stuff laid out that we want to take with us a week or two in advance. And that's good. That's real good, because I'm on the other end of that. I'm going to pack my bag that morning when we're going to leave. And then be aggravated I forgot to pack something. So I recognize that some of us are different in this mindset of planning. But that doesn't remove us from the responsibility to do it. God said do it. God said in the verses that I've showed you tonight that He wants us to ponder the path of our feet. He wants us to know where we're going and that we're following His plan for our life. Every single one of us has a plan ordained by God. Are you following that plan? I don't know if you've heard the song. I can't think of the name of it, because the thought just now come to me. But it's a song that the guy's singing, or some ladies may sing it as well. I think the name of it's called Thank You. Where this guy gets to heaven, and there's just gobs of people that are there that walk up to him and say, thank you. You don't know it, but I'm here because you sent $20 to a missionary.
Right.
You don't know it, but I accepted Jesus as my Savior one morning in Sunday school, and because of your time and your effort and your prayers. Thank you. I sure don't want to get to heaven and be standing there all by myself. that no one made it there because of me doing what God called me to do. I want to get there and see a lot of people. I plan to go to the person that led me to the Lord and do the same thing. Thank you. Amen. What kind of impact are you having for eternity? It requires planning. It requires setting some goals. It requires setting some deadlines. I encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Dear Father, I do thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us what we needed in your word tonight. Lord, help us to find your will for us individually. Lord, give us the clear direction that you want us to go. Lord, help us to do our part, to be obedient, to follow your plan. I thank you for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn to 463.